If I'd asked the question this morning, what do we know about Zacchaeus? What would you say? I'm going to start with the front benches. It's important that you're involved. Okay, so one of you boys there on the front bench, give me one word to describe Zacchaeus. He was short, okay. What's another word, girls? He was ungodly, okay. Well, that's good thinking. What's another word? Go to the next bench back, girls. He was rich. What's another one over here, boys?
Tax collector.
He was a tax collector. What does that make him? You know, you haven't paid taxes, I don't think, but most of us that have, we have an opinion about tax collectors. And generally, it's not very good, but, you know, they were just doing it. Most of the time, they're just doing their job. But for Zacchaeus, it was a little different. He was collecting taxes from his own people, which were the Jews, and he was giving them to the Roman government, so he was hated by his people. So we can know some more things that he was not a popular man. He was very disliked. Okay, now let's think about it some more. What do his actions tell us about Zacchaeus? And let's drop back to the next bench there, boys. What do his actions tell us? What did he do? Let's talk about what he did. What did he do that's so significant? We all connect Zacchaeus to this. What is that? Zacchaeus climbed a sycamore tree to see what he could see. Not quite like that, is it? But it's kind of like that. You know, I think we could see in Zacchaeus' life there was a deep hunger that so far his being a big guy with a short stature didn't fill. Being a rich man in a poor country didn't fill. Zacchaeus was a man that was hungry. He was hungry for a certain something that he didn't have. I'm impressed with the verse in one of the Beatitudes where Jesus said, "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And that certainly describes Zacchaeus' life. He was a man that had evidently a lot of things. He evidently had a well-to-do position as well. But there was a hunger there that was not being met by those things. And he wanted desperately to see Jesus, and he went to extraordinary lengths to do that, and he had that hunger filled. Let's turn to Luke chapter 19, verse 1. "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured that he had gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and cried and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." You know, I think this is such a beautiful passage, and it says so much beneath the surface. We have this story of a man that was dissatisfied with life, and he wanted to see Jesus, and he wanted to see if he had these deep longings, and we can see it by what he did. And then when he met Jesus, we can see some more by what he said. He said, you know, he recognized that these things that he was accumulating were not bringing him to happiness. And he said, I'll give half of it to the poor. And if I have taken anything by false accusation, he says, and that could mean specifically that he was, they were allowed to actually write the tax bill for as much as they felt the person could stand. And so he says, I'll restore that. His willingness to make restitution proved his sincerity. And it's really the only place that we have in Scripture that it doesn't say in the New Testament that you should make restitution. But we have this written to show that when a person is sincere, restitution is a part of that process. You can see to it by that. Well, then Jesus says, this day is salvation come to this house. And I think that's very interesting that Jesus was there to meet this man's need that was hungry. And hungry for something besides food. Hungry for fellowship with him. And he met that need in a very definite way. In spite of the grumbling of the people around him that were religious and so on. But now let's turn to another scripture, and I'd like for you to turn to this in Revelation chapter 3 and in verse 14. Most of us know what Revelation 3 entails. It's a story of different churches, but starting with verse 14, we have the church of Laodicea. And I know that in our minds there is no good thing in Laodicea. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness in the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. You know, in this church at Laodicea, none of us want to be identified with this self-righteous, fulfilled, rich church. And it's so interesting, the words that are chosen here. He says, Jesus says to the churches, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire. Laodicea was a city that was known for its banking, for its richness, and minting coins, and they were a wealthy city community. They were known for their eye clinic, their powders that they would have to heal both the eyes and the ears. They were known for their richness of their cloth industry. And each one of these, he's saying, you know, buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment instead of the purple cloth that they were wearing, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of the nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. They were not hungry like Zacchaeus was. They were satisfied. They felt themselves rich. But Jesus says, you're wretched and poor and naked and blind, miserable. You know, if we take any one of those adjectives that he uses to describe it, it would be bad. But when you put them all together, you see how miserable their situation really is. But the thing that impresses me is that he says, you don't just go your way, but he says, behold, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. This morning, Brian talked to us about the love of God and how far-reaching and outstanding that is. And we can see it here, that in this community, in this church, in this city, where there was nothing that was really good, Jesus is still extending an invitation to sup with him, just exactly like he did with Zacchaeus. That was the big thing, to eat with him. That meant close fellowship. That was very precious, and it was very significant when someone ate with him, ate with another person like that. There was a bond there. And that's the bond that he's extending to this cold community. So what does it sound like to hear Jesus knocking? You know, I doubt that it's exactly like that. But it might be that. It might be a niggling of a conscience. It might be an urge to do something that we know we should, to do the right thing. It might be to give an encouraging word. We here are God's hands and feet to do his work. And so whatever that is, Jesus is inviting us to do that and to open the door and to sup with him. And I just think that's beautiful that we can be glad for Zacchaeus that Jesus said, hey, come down. I want to eat with you today. And, you know, Zacchaeus was eager and hungry for that. But the same invitation was extended to someone that felt like he had everything and didn't need Jesus at all. And so whatever area we're in, if we're a Laodicean and we feel like we have everything we need, that invitation is still open to us today. And that is really tremendous. Luke tells us one of the greatest concepts of the love of God is shown in the story of the prodigal son that we often say in Luke 15, where he talks about the attitude of the prodigal son, the attitude of the younger son, the attitude of the older son, and the attitude of the father. We can see them all and very prominently there. But the attitude of the father was that not just rejoicing that the younger son had returned, But he also tried to entreat the elder son to have that same fellowship with him. And so wherever we find ourselves, Jesus wants a relationship with us that is going to be beneficial, that will fill our life with that, fill that hunger that is there. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.